That's a hit man.
JB, the godfather of soul, James Brown, saw him go on stage. I know I may be repeating myself, but it was circa 2000. We're at the Paramount Theater in Oakland, California. I'm backstage with Tower of Power. And of course, they opened up for JB, James Brown, the godfather of soul. So anyway, we were like a backstage meet and greet. And they said, you know, it's time to go back to your seat. The show's going to start. So I sort of hung out on stage. I'm not a conformist. I didn't want to do it. So I sort of hung out on stage backstage. And here comes James Brown. He comes out. He's got a couple chicks with him. And they put this fur jacket over his shoulders. This and that. He kicks on a mirror, makes sure his hair is right, the whole nine yards. Then he steps out on stage and blows everybody away. And, of course, the late James Brown, may he rest in peace. But, man, what a show. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. This hour, boxing. Next hour, we talk mixed martial arts, UFC, Evicta Championships. Of course, that's the female, all-female brand of mixed martial arts, and the Bellator Fighting Championships, which took place this past Friday night on Spike TV. So lots of stuff to talk about in the world of MMA. But right now, we're talking boxing. We'll bring in manager extraordinaire. He's done everything. I mean, as far as boxing is concerned, and he was a great athlete in his own right. So I'm talking about Bob Spagnuolo, manager extraordinaire. What's up, Big Bob?
How you doing, Pete?
I'm doing all right, man. Now, first thing I got to ask you, and you and I have been together a long time. God, it's 88, 87, somewhere around there. Anyway, but the Top Rank versus Joe Diaz, the Joe Diaz versus Top Rank story, it was supposed to go before the 9th District Court of Appeals on February 14th, and Top Rank asked that oral arguments be suspended. They only want to submit written arguments. Is that because that Moriarty was going to play tapes and stuff like them of them fixing fights before the 9th District Court of Appeals? Do you think they sort of backed out because of that or what?
I think they're waiting for the statute of limitations, Pete, of 75 years or whatever before they'll do. Listen, Moriarty's a bad man. You know, he's practiced in front of the United States Supreme Court before, and you don't just do that for laughs and jolly jokes. So,
and one.
It seems like Diaz and Yuri Boy have got themselves some serious representation, and it'll be interesting to see how that. You know, we all followed the Top Rank scenario with Matchbox and everything, and to see Massa Bob and the crew walk, you know, with everything that they had on them only makes you just question the, like my old mentor, Potato Pie, always used to teach me about the judicial system. Pete, he used to tell me, you know, Meathead, you know what justice stands for, don't you? Just us.
We're talking about Al Potato Pie Bolton, folks. He late Texas trainer. What a corner man he was. What a personality. You know, we get a chance to mention him once in a while when we do, and always brings a smile to my face. You know that?
Yeah, well, he was a one of a kind.
I mean, I remember one time he told me some real stuff that I can't relate on radio, but he was in Tucson, Arizona, and he laid this out to me, and he was about as real as you can get, and he was about as hardcore as you can get, and it was like, I walked away like, whoa, I just got like a boxing education in 5 minutes.
Yeah, boxing and life, too.
Yeah, boxing and life, too. Now, we've got a fight card. What did you think of Lomachenko last night? Did you think that was a bit of a unfair contest, the fact that the guy was landing low blows like Eusebio Pedroza against Juan Laporte back in 1982, of course, when he landed like 128 fouls and the New Jersey State Athletic Commission took the fight away from Pedroza, but the WBA wouldn't? Remember that?
Yeah. No, listen, it's we've seen it, you know, over the years, and we saw more of it. You know, I think a lot of it was the contrast of a rough physical inside fighter and a beautiful premier Olympic style fighter who didn't he was waiting for the ref to break him when there was a clinch on the inside. You know, the ref was letting him fight, but the low blows, God, I couldn't believe how, you know, he came back in the last couple rounds so strong after, you know, just being denuded all those times, and the hip too, Pete.
The hip. Anyway, Bobby, I hate to interrupt you, man, but the hip. I used to hit guys on the hip, okay? And getting hit on the hip messes guys up, and the referee, as long as the blow wasn't low, the referee didn't jump in and go crazy on me. But I used to hit guys hard as I could on the hip, as hard as I could.
Yeah, well, listen, and that's in a three-round fight.
You
know, when you go into later rounds, it's just, you know, and there isn't a lot of the hip bone there. Of course, you can hurt your hand hitting a guy on the hip. as well. But you know, listen. So Dio was the hard, rough sewn pro, and the other guy was the beautiful angle given, you know, amateur. Listen, the kid showed a ton of class in losing, not questioning the officials even when they prompted him, not questioning, you know, the low blows, which were, you know, could listen. What shocked me so much was in the second to last round when Sadio was just clamping down on both hands, and the Russian kid, Ukrainian kid, was using his head to try to work out of there, and the ref warned him for using his head.
Referee also took a point away from him.
Yeah,
I mean, here's what's up. Lawrence Cole shouldn't be refereeing fights. I mean, he should sell insurance, and that's about it. I mean, because he keeps turning in, you know, subpar performance after subpar performance. Now, I know you're down there in Texas. You may have to deal with them a little bit more than I do, but there are better referees.
Well, you know, I don't do anything in Texas because of my problems with the commission, which I think are, you know, all the way to the tippy-top gangsters. But Lawrence, you know, listen, I think he's a solid referee. He's had his bad nights. They shine the light on him real, real fiercely because, you know, he doesn't have a lot of friends up there. He's made a couple of mistakes. But all in all, you know, he's just the kind of guy that lets guys fight. And along the lines of, you know, my man in New Jersey. And, you know, that's just a style. You know, some refs, let's face it, you know, they have a different style. They break every time there's a clinch. But where there's a problem to me, Pete, is where you see a guy that's one style, and then all of a sudden he gets a high-profile fight and he changes to being the other style. You know, like, you know, when there's a Meldrick Taylor-Chavez fight and Steele's breaking him every couple of seconds, every time Chavez gets in it, on the inside, he makes them reset again, where generally he's the type of guy that lets guys fight. So when you see that metamorphosis of you know, these guys know what they're doing, and as much as you want to get some judges that you think won't go against you, you know, it only takes one referee to completely change the complexion of a fight.
Okay. Next Saturday, this coming Saturday, looks like there'll be a pay-per-view card on, and I think TV pirates across the world will be looking to steal this one. I'm talking about Angulo and Canelo Alvarez, of course, on pay-per-view, and it's for $70. Underneath, they've got Omar Figueroa, Ricardo Alvarez, Leo Santa Cruz and Christian Mahares, and Carlos Molina and Jermaine Charlo. That's an IBF 154-pound fight. They're asking 70 clamps for this. I'm feeling clammy. I'm going to pass on buying this one.
Yeah, well, listen, all this pay-per-view. So, you know, it's funny how the you know, to do supposedly the magic number for pay-per-view was 120 days to do a good job of it, you know, to do the tour, to market it, to, you know, or at least 90, a minimum of 90. Now they're floating this stuff out there to a different, you know, target market. But, you know, they had 60 days with this thing. That's hardly enough time to promote a network fight, let alone premium cable or pay-per-view.
Going to put Bob Spagnuolo, the manager of Austin Trout, on the spot right here. Eric Botcher, who you know, and Ronald Marshall, a boxing historian here in California, their old adage is, every man or every fighter has a glass jaw until proven otherwise. Do you think that's true?
Well, you know, listen, I'll tell you something. I've seen some great fighters that were supposedly had great chins, absolutely had great chins, but you know, when you crack that egg, you know, remember Kelvin Seabrooks, all those wars fought all the way up to 140, you know, he was a, you know, you couldn't get him out of there, you couldn't hurt him, and then those two fights with Canizales, and after that he got knocked out in the first round by Jesse Benavidez, a well-known powder puff puncher from Corpus Christi, Texas. You see guys, you know, over a period of time, it's like that water dripping on that rock. But also, sometimes guys with tremendous defense get known for having great chins because, you know, because they don't get hit on the button. But, you know, then when somebody does find their way in there, you know, all hell breaks loose. Listen, it's a brutal, tough game. And, you know, listen, you don't want to be known for having a great chin because all that means is you've shown it tested. I mean, listen, last night with Vera and Chavez, Chavez came in good condition this time, made the weight easy. Vera's really a strong physical 54-pounder that, you know, had to chase the money, and they brought him all the way up there. He doesn't have the pop at 60, oh, six, certainly at 68 or cruiserweight, which is what he fought Chavez at last night. But brave, tenacious, double tough kid. His beard certainly moved up into the higher weights with him.
Well, good chins. Look what that good chin did to Muhammad Ali.
Yeah. Well, you know, listen, he had a good chin, but also, listen, he wasn't hit. Guys couldn't even hit him. You know, early on, guys couldn't even reach him. They couldn't hit him. And, you know, I mean, he was so elusive. He was so fluid. And, you know, but, you know, look, I'll tell you something. This business, Pete, it's going to be, you know, with everything, these fighters are going to get legislated out of business, because pretty soon they're going to be suing because, you know, certain people are making a lot of money and certain people are wearing diapers pretty quick. And it's going to happen in the NFL the minute they stop these guys from taking steroids, because they can't very well sue while they're allowing these guys to take steroids and growth hormones. But as soon as they get that little issue cleared up, they're going to sue the league. They're going to sue everybody. And it's going to spread to boxing. How could it not? And then, you know, boxing is going to go to South and Central America and underdeveloped countries where, you know, people are, you know, willing to take that risk, and it's not, you know, legislated so heavily, because, you know, no one takes responsibility in our country for what they do. And when you know, they wake up, you know, a few years after being a world champion and need help, you know, quick into the restroom, it's going to change everything.
Okay, real quick, the Nevada State Athletic Commission voted like a week ago to ban testosterone replacement therapy. Therefore, Vitor Belfort, the phenom from Brazil, will not be fighting Chris Weidman for the World Middleweight Championship in Las Vegas for the UFC middleweight title. He can't do without the TRT, says. This is legalized cheating. You and I know this, but are you happy at least that Nevada stepped up on this one? Because I think that's a major step up.
Well, I mean, I'm disgusted that it took them this long, because all that therapy is an admission that the guy's been a monster roid head for the fact that his body will not produce testosterone anymore. And old Mark Ratner, the former Nevada State Athletic Commissioner, has been on a tour, you know, all around the country trying to get these commissions to allow these known roid heads to compete. It's wrong. It's been wrong since day one. I don't care if they do it in baseball. I don't care if they do it in cycling. We can't do it in blood sport.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great, the incomparable, I'm talking about Mr. Bob Spagnuolo. Bob, say hello to the wife and the child for me. She's not a child anymore, the young lady.
All the best, Pete.
Thank you so much. Bob Spagnuolo, manager extraordinaire of Houston, Texas.